May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When I was young, my mother always took me, dragged my father too, but also me, to the Christmas Eve service at the Congregational Church that she attended every week. It was a familiar church for me, but I loved the Christmas Eve service for one particular reason. When you walked in, they gave you a candle. You remember the little tiny white candles with the cardboard toppers? If you don't remember it, turn around to somebody older than you. They probably do. And I loved having that candle because when we got to the end of the service, we would sing a couple carols, always finishing with Silent Night. And we would light the candles. And everybody in the church would get to have a lighted candle. And we would put the lights down and we would sing those hymns. And I would keep that candle lit for as long as I possibly could. I would keep that candle lit straight through the lights coming back up, straight through everybody getting in line to walk out the back of the church. I would keep that candle lit out onto the sidewalk and as far down the street towards the car as I possibly could. It's December in New England. It wasn't very far. But I was determined that if I could keep that candle lit, I was going to keep that candle lit. I have now sat in the pews of that same church with my own small children on Christmas Eve while they had that candle. And I gotta tell you, my mother was either incredibly brave to let me keep that candle lit or criminally negligent. There's a reason we have battery lit candles tonight, okay? But you know, the more I think about the symbolism of why we light that candle, the symbolism of keeping that candle lit for as long as I possibly could, I'm so grateful that my mother was brave enough to let me, and fast enough to put out anybody's coat that was catching on fire. Because that lighting that candle and carrying it out into the world, you know, that's really what Christmas is all about. That receiving the light of Christ and then carrying it away with us. In our gospel tonight, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus, the familiar story in which Mary and Joseph come to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn, so Mary gives birth in a stable and places the baby Jesus in a manger. And we hear that out in the hills, there were some shepherds, presumably nowhere near the village and are completely unaware of the birth of a child in a stable. They were out there minding their own business, keeping an eye on their sheep, when suddenly an army of angels descends on them and says, "Good news!" No wonder they were terrified. It's an overwhelming experience. But what strikes me in this story is how after the angels depart, the shepherds turn to one another and go, "Let's go see what's happened. Let's go and find out if we can find for ourselves this story that the angel has told us. Let's go and find out if what the angel said is true." I wonder sometimes what would have happened if the shepherds hadn't gone. I mean, they just had a traumatic experience with a whole army of angels glorying all over the sky. You could forgive them if they had decided that that was quite enough for one night, that they had enough excitement, and they were now going to just bed down and hope there was nothing else further was going to happen. But they decided they wanted to find out more. They wanted to know what came next. They wanted to know if the story was true. I suspect if they hadn't gone, by the time dawn came and the sun rose, they'd have all been convinced, they'd all been hallucinating. They'd have put it down to a bad batch of bread, or maybe something one of the other shepherds had suggested they all smoke and try. They'd have woken up in the morning and gone, whoa, that was a night. Would they have ever told anyone? Depends on where they got the thing they were smoking, I suppose. But it might have been hard for them to believe it. It certainly might not have changed them. They probably never would have told another soul. But after the angels left, they decided to go and see for themselves. And when they did, they came and they found it just as the angels had told them. And they found some other people who had a fairly remarkable story to tell themselves. They found Mary and Joseph. And can't you imagine the shepherds telling them what had happened? And Mary telling them about how she had conceived this child. And all of them sitting there in amazement and awe at what God was doing. As John would put it, a light was coming into the world, and the darkness could not overcome it. On Christmas Eve, we come to be reminded of that light. The light that was a child born in a manger. A child that would grow up to heal and proclaim the good news of God. To bring hope to people for whom there was no hope. As Isaiah would put it, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. That he would bring light to people who were stumbling and blind. And continues to bring light and hope and a future for us. Because let's face it, it probably doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to think of a place where the world feels very dark for us right now. It doesn't take a lot of struggle to know that the sun, when it sets, leaves a lot of us with heavy hearts and fear and worry. We need that angel standing there on the hillside above the shepherds going, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. We need to hear in the middle of our own darkness and in the middle of the darkness of this world that there is good news and it's for all the people. We need to see the light coming back into the world. But we also need to take that good news and that light back out with us. We need to carry our lights down the aisle, out into the parking lot, all the way to the car. We need to put our lights in the windows of our homes and in the windows of our hearts, and we need to share that light with everybody we meet. Because the world is still lying in silence and darkness and waiting for that sign of hope. That hope that the angel proclaimed on a dark hillside above Bethlehem. That hope that found in that stable, in that the darkness of an overcapacity village. The hope that is found here in these stories, here in one another, here at Christmas. Because the light is coming into the world. And whether it's a little white candle or a battery-operated tea light, which will not, in fact, set your grandmother's hair on fire. It's a symbol of the light that we receive here at Christmas, the light of Christ, the light of the promise that God is renewing and restoring creation, the promise that the light is coming into the world and the darkness cannot overcome it. So I invite you tonight to take your lights home with you. Go ahead, hold them high as you cross the parking lot, and let them remind you of the hope that is in us and the hope and the light that we are called to share with the world.
Amen.